As supermamas, we lead busy lives. We get our families ready for the day. We run our family restaurant together with our siblings, and that's not to mention our other businesses. And sometimes our kids have to tag along with us too. I really want Eddie to grow up happy and healthy. And so when it comes to choosing good food for you snacks, we love to choose fresh avocados. Actually, one of our favorite snacks growing up was sliced aguacate con limón and salt wrapped in a warm tortilla. And now it's one of Eddie's favorite snacks too. Avocados are a unique healthy fruit because they contain 6 grams of unsaturated fat for 50 gram serving. Serving my family snacks like avocados inspire good nutrition habits for a healthy life. Did you know avocados act as a nutrient booster by helping the body better absorb fat-soluble nutrients like vitamin A? From the foods eaten with them like sweet potatoes, spinach, carrots, and mango, vitamin A is involved in immune, vision, and cellular function. For more information about how avocados can boost the body's absorption of nutrients like vitamin A and easy recipes, visit saboreaunohoy.com.
Hola, I'm Paulina.
Hi, I'm Bricia. And we're sisters, friends, daughters, wives, and business owners, following our dreams, just striving to be a better version of ourselves every day. All right, and we're also moms.
Welcome to the Super Mama Sisterhood. And I was jumping on the waves with Krista, and he was like, oh my God, this is the best ever. And we get in the car, we get home. She cries because I woke her up. Ah! I was like, I wish I didn't have any kids within like 3 hours.
She stopped me right there. She was like, Risa, I want you to understand this. I seriously believe that our children choose us and we don't choose our children.
Right.
Your baby chose you to be his mom.
Mm-hmm.
He knew what kind of mom he wanted. And he chose you as his mom.
Oh, that's right. Nice. We're all sisters here to inspire, support, and guide each other to dream bigger and to enjoy every moment of this extraordinary journey that is womanhood. ¿Listas?
Here we go.
Super Mamas! Hello!
Hello, coming to you live. This is our first tape. Where's the camera?
I don't know. I don't want to see. By the way, disclosure, this is not a michelada, this is actually water.
Okay, Paulina has like, Paulina, you have to also remember that we are also on audio, so you have to explain to everybody that you have a cup next to you.
Oh, yes, I have a cup.
See, now everyone's going to be looking at me, bullying you life.
Yes, I have receipts, more receipts. Well, show everybody your cup.
Oh my God, so this is my version, a poor woman's version of a J-Lo cup. I talked about it on the show before, though. It's this... mason jar.
No, but they can see it. So then yeah, para que te like manden las piedritas y te lo hagas.
Mom, of course, did not have time for me this time around, like per usual. She promised that she was going to bling it out, but I'm already used to like not being cared about. Totally fine. How are you?
Good.
What have you been up to?
Well, let me see. Well, the book released. The party was amazing. It was so much fun.
We are an Amazon bestseller. Officially.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, everybody. To every single. I love getting those receipts. I swear to God that everyone is like sending me DMs and they're like, here's my receipt, Bricia. I'm like, yes, mom. Yes.
I know. I was on the party. I was like, next New York Times bestseller. Yay. Why not?
Yeah, a girl can dream. Why not? Can you imagine Oaxaca, a cookbook, New York Times bestseller? Dang. Breaking walls, breaking barriers, breaking glass ceilings.
That's right. I'm so excited.
I know. The party was lit.
It was so much fun.
I'm just happy we're not recording this yesterday.
No. Yesterday was not about the business.
Oh my God, Paulina, I walked into the restaurant, you turned around, I looked at your face, and I was like, damn, okay, you had fun last night.
We did. My husband too. I went to work, and like around 3, he was like, what are you doing? I was like, oh, well, I think I'm so done. Tired. He was like, okay, let's go home. Let's go get the kids and let's go home and spend time as a family because you're leaving.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, let's go. I spent the whole afternoon doing a project. I had Krista, he had Sabina. By like 8 o'clock, we were looking at each other like, How are we doing? I was so frustrated.
Yeah.
Doing a project.
I don't know when those days are going to come. I know you were talking about the school projects and this day, that day. I'm not there yet. My son's only 4 right now, but I don't even know what that's going to be.
I know. And then there's cultural day and they both have it. They both have to turn in projects. We have to dress both of them up and we've never had to do that. So we had to divide and conquer. Caramiro had Sabina and I had Krista. Krista's going to be Yalitza Aparicio and Sabina is going to be Selena.
And I mean, that's the reason why mom couldn't bling out my cup. because she had to work a costume, a Yalitza Aparicio outfit. I'm not going to call it a costume because it's not a costume.
It's her Vogue outfit.
Oh, yeah. She's going to be Yalitza Aparicio.
Vogue.
You know what you should make if you want to be a real mom?
No.
You should do a cutout.
I was told my husband that.
And then you should put Vogue on in top, the back. Yeah. And she just hold it up. You know how people have those fake Instagram things?
Yeah.
You should have asked Giana to make one for you.
What the hell? I told mom, don't even spend that much time in it. She's going to wear it for like 10 minutes and she's going to want to take it out, you know? Sabina, however, she's been waiting patiently for years to wear the Selena outfit. 2 years ago? Was it 2 years ago? I don't know. She's been waiting patiently for that day. And so she is excited. She wants me to curl her hair the night before. She wants me to do trenzas. Uh-huh. So then the night after her hair is like flowy.
Hair,
she
had like
mermaid
me.
Hair. She, mom was trying this to fix it. Uh-huh. And she was like, Grandma, I can't see my belly. I have to show my belly. In the picture, you have to show her my belly. And it was the funniest thing. Yesterday, also when we were doing the homework, my husband was like, what is, como se llama? Selena. Selena qué? Selena, and my husband's like, Quintanilla. You should have seen him. Like, the fourth time he was like, Selena Quintanilla. And she was like, there were lots of tears. And I don't even know how we're going to do this because, you know, we were hanged over.
Y cuando pasa la tercera, when the third one has to go on cultural day.
I hope it's not the same day. By that time, Krista will be in middle school. So hopefully it won't be the same. 3 in the same day. No, I can't. And Sabina's was easy. I was doing the third grade level project. He was doing the kindergarten project. And his patience was like on the limit.
Y todos crudos.
Y es crudos, aparte. It was like about 7:45 and we're like, we haven't even had dinner. The projects are not done and I'm tired. I'm like, I don't even know how people do it.
I've been coming home late a lot lately. And yesterday I got home, I think around 7-ish, 7:30-ish. So to me, that's early. And thank God my son was already in PJs and bathed. But because I was home a little bit earlier, he wanted to hang out. And who am I to say, no, let's go to bed, right? Obviously. He said, Mommy, I'm starved. Oh, my God. That's like his coping thing. That's his, I'm so starving, Mommy. I'm so hungry. And I looked at my sitter and I asked, did you guys not eat? Like, what's going on? He's like, he ate like a lot. And I said, okay, I get it. He wants attention. Okay, let's do it. Mommy, I want you to make me, let me see. I think I want quinoa and I want quesadillas and I want chippies. Great. Let's do it. So we went to Nikki's. I want to help you. So it was so beautiful. It was all great. The food's ready. And he's like, no, I'm not really hungry that much. I'm like, great. So then, you know, it was a great time together. Okay. We had the music on. He wanted to dance. And then it was already getting into the mid 8 o'clocks. Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, now it's time to go to bed. All right, babe, let's go downstairs. He's like, okay, let's go. We lay down in bed. I'm so starving. I'm so hungry. Why didn't you let me eat? And they said, Eduardo, I made you your food that you asked and you didn't eat it. So right now it's hard for me to believe that you're hungry. Maybe next time you tell me you're hungry, I'm not going to believe you anymore. So you have to be careful with what you say. And then, you know, the tears. He's like, well, then read me a book. You don't want to read me a book. And I'm like, yes. But now I'm doing the Spanish thing. Oh, by the way.
Uh-huh.
We used to do Alexa Storytime. But now I downloaded 3 Audible books in Spanish. Mm. So now Alexa can play those Audible books.
Really?
I downloaded uno que se llama historias de, I have to look at my phone, hold on. Niños, historias de niños, or something like that. And tiene Rapunzel and Hansel and Gretel. And it's cute. I mean, she says, and then I did La Biblia para niños en español.
Yes.
La Biblia para principiantes. And then, una colección de historia para niños. And then he said, no, mom, I want to hear meditation tonight. I want meditation, like the audible. I want the ones that start like, this is audible. And the lady talks about meditation. And I said, great. So I downloaded Meditación Guiada para la Hora de Dormir. And this entire thing of meditation, how to fall asleep in Spanish.
Wow.
Girl, I passed out in the bed. Within 5 minutes, I was out. I slept in his bed I didn't even know what time my husband came home.
Oh my God.
I don't remember. And I told him we needed to wake up early because we needed to get to school early. He woke me up at 6. He's like, mommy, it's early. Remember you mentioned that we needed to wake up early? Get up. And I'm like, oh my God.
Why did I even say that? I know. And we still have to get up and...
But anyway, that's a tip though. The Audible.
I want to do that. I didn't know that Alexa read Spanish books.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, she reads Audible. So you can just say read and then the name of your book. She just reads it because, you know, Audible and Amazon are like in cahoots. I think they own Audible. I don't know.
In cahoots.
I think they own each other. I don't know. Something. I feel something. Like Amazon owns the world. But yes.
That's a good one. Is that your tip? Is that going to be your tip?
No.
Or
no,
should we not. Go to a break?
Wait, should we go to a break? Wait, did I let you finish your story?
Yeah, I think so. Thank
you. Let's take a break and go to our Supermom Pick Your Tip of the Week. Yes?
Yes.
Hi, Supermamas. I know we have talked about our book, Oaxaca, Home Cooking from the Heart of Mexico in past episodes. The book tells the story of our family's journey from Oaxaca to Los Angeles, and it includes over 100 family recipes. Yes, that includes our OG award-winning mole negro recipe. It would mean the world to us to have your support and have every single one of you pre-order a copy today. You can order Oaxaca, Home Cooking from the Heart of Mexico today by visiting ilovemole.com/Oaxaca Cookbook. That's ilovemole.com/OAXACA Cookbook. Our book will also be available everywhere books are sold on October 22nd, 2019. Thank you so much, mamas. We cannot wait for you to have a copy. So, Supermama, pick your tip of the week. Before we get to that, though, I want to just reiterate our book tours for all our moms, because Paulina, myself, my brother, the whole fam, we're going to get in a Scooby-Doo van, on the Michimobile van, and drive across the country. Nah, I'm just kidding. No, Delta has been so kind.
Shout out to Delta.
We are going to Chicago next week. This week.
We're in Chicago
tonight.
Now.
We're Chicago tonight. When this episode airs. We're Chicago Tuesday, October 29th at Read It and Eat It store in 2142 North Halsted Street.
If you're listening to this early, come.
Yes,
come.
Yes.
What time
please.
Is it going to be? Do you know?
I can't remember. But please come to Chicago, all Chicago moms. Then our LA moms, we are going to be in Pasadena at Roman's Bookstore on Sunday, November 3rd. So anybody in the LA area who wants, we're going to have a conversation with Chef Carlos Salgado from Taco Maria and the OC, who is one of my favorite chefs. He is so smart. I mean, I wouldn't doubt if we're probably going to end up talking about Mars and the stars and the universe. And what
do they
kind
make tacos over there or what?
No, he is just like on another level of intellectuality, kind of like our guest today. And then we're going to go to Brooklyn. So our Brooklyn moms, we're going to be there on November 5th on Tuesday. Then Portland on November 12th at Via Raiz. In Brooklyn, we're going to be in a store by the name of Homecoming. And then West Hollywood, December 8th. And also the Day of the Dead Forever in LA event. We would definitely be there
Hollywood
as well.
Forever.
We're all going to be there.
We're all going to be
hustling
there.
And working.
Everybody.
And putting in a lot of steps.
Everywhere. Going to be everywhere.
Paulina, what's your tip this week?
So I know that birthday season just ended for us. Mm-hmm. But something amazing that I discovered through that season for my girls, because I didn't do any parties, was the fabulous. Did you know that Sprinkle Cupcakes have ATMs?
So you can have DMs?
ATMs.
Oh, ATMs.
Yes. Yeah. So
where?
You go, and there are certain locations that you go.
You mean like a vending machine?
A vending machine. My cousin called it an ATM machine. A vending machine. But it's open 24 hours a day.
It's like ATM machines. Do they have a credit card? Like, can you get a vending machine Visa?
So you go, and any time of the day, mm-hmm. if you forget someone's birthday, just go grab a cupcake from their vending machines. They give it to you. You can get a little candle. And that's what we did every morning on the three birthdays.
Awesome.
And yeah, so shout out to my husband for discovering that. And he saved the day.
Look at you. I didn't get no sprinkle cupcakes from you.
You don't live with me.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember getting a shared cake that I had to pass around that I barely even got to taste. I even had to share my candle because you didn't get enough candles for everybody. There were five birthdays.
That
only four
I didn't
candles.
Get enough candles? How is it matter?
It's your house. You're hosting. This is what happens when
there
you're
was
hosting.
Enough candles for everybody.
You no, I it. Had to share mine. I had to share my wish.
To share your wish. I lost a shared wish.
Well, it's okay. Okay, so my picker tip. Okay, so I'm still in my no buying phase. Thankfully, I'm like a month in.
You've been doing good.
So I've been doing really, really great. Mm-hmm. Has it been a month?
Are you 10% there? No, not yet. Not even 10%.
No, but anyway, I'm still. It's only 52 weeks, so. You know,
you're almost 10%.
I'm almost there. So since I'm not buying anything, was I going to share things that I wanted to buy and I didn't?
I think so.
Okay. So a moment that I had this week where I wanted to purchase something. And if you are purchasing things, here's what I think that
you should purchase.
You should get. Well, you guys know that we all love, I mean, I took my hoops off because I didn't know what it was going to be like with camera and the hoops on. But, I was wearing these hoops yesterday and someone called them by a different name I've never heard. Door knockers? Have you heard hoops being... And I said, what are they? She's like, yeah, are you bringing back door knockers? And I'm like, oh, girl, where I come from, we just call these hoops. Sorry. But Google door knocker earrings. Mm-hmm. So many cute earrings pop up.
Door knock earrings.
And I would say that if this was me... You know, before my stop shopping for yourself sabbatical, I would 100%.
Door knock or door knob?
Door knock, like knock como door knockers earrings. Mm. But yeah, if I was shopping for myself, I was buying something for myself.
Oh, you know what? El.
Yeah, they're door knocker.
Well, they're not necessarily, they're not hoops. They are the ones that have something on top and then you can hit the door.
No, I know, shape. But the ones I know, but there's some round ones though that kind of have like like ribbons around. Yeah. I'll take a photo of them and post it on Instagram. But anyway,
I see what you mean.
Had I
They're cute?
Would I if I earrings. If I was to buy something for myself this week? That's what it would be. I'm not, but that's what it would be.
Door knocker earrings.
So great. Again, 3014 West Olympic. If anybody's interested. Oh, you know what? Somebody told me this week. Because I told them about my no buying things. And they said, what about, you know, things like lotion? And I said, listen, I have so many half full bottles of lotion all over my house.
I don't.
And somehow I see a new lotion and I think, oh, I'm going to buy it. So right now I have this goal to, even my son, because my son has like two. If I run out of mine, I'm going to use his. What's the difference?
Yeah. So true.
And also, I realized I have two spare SPFs that I bought when I went to Hawaii that are just sitting there. So I haven't bought my Elta MD SPF that I usually use in my face.
Good for you. I'm
going to start using those. You know, and if si no me gusta, pues ni modo, ¿por qué lo compré? I have to learn somehow, right? So anyway, today on the show, we have...
This week on the show, we have Carmelita Ramirez Sanchez, who has a distinguished 20-plus year career in broadcasting and entertainment, which includes a string of firsts. From first female vice president of a hip-hop record label to first female radio DJ to reach over 10 million listeners in the Wake Up Show. Transitioning to the nonprofit sector, she founded Reinas, which stands for Realizing Every Idea Needs a Star. to support under-resourced teen girls' educational pursuits. She has developed youth programming for a number of brands and government organizations, including Los Angeles County, Nike, Interscope Records, Adidas, City of Los Angeles, and the Gay and Lesbian Center of LA. Carmelita currently serves as the executive director of the Boyle Heights Arts Conservatory, which trains students through specialized curricula, emphasizing economic and cultural equity towards careers in the arts and entertainment industries.
You guys are going to absolutely love this woman.
She is amazing.
She just came in here with this incredible aura, and she is one of these people that all of us have so much to thank for, because she is changing the world and touching families in a way that I don't think anyone that I know is today. Yes. You know, because she's breaking generational stigmas. She is just really allowing our community to flourish through education and creativity.
Yeah.
And not just that, but the way she speaks to parents and children. You guys are going to learn so much. You guys are going to want to enroll in her classes send your kids to her school. So
or yourself.
I'm going to go take a podcast
for real.
Without further ado, here is our interview with
Carmelita Sanchez Ramirez.
Welcome to the show, Carmelita.
Thanks for having me.
Oh my God. Thanks for coming in. You're teaching us how to use these microphones.
I know. Thank you for that.
Please tell me, how does one go from being the first female vice president of a hip hop record label to now running the Boyle Heights Arts Conservatory?
Yeah. así como el elefante que toca la trompeta. I don't know how, but made it happen. After the birth of our second child, I kind of phased away from on-air personality to working nonprofit work. So my husband and I, our second child, Oshun, when my daughter came, we, moved away from that field. My husband is a restorative cultural arts practitioner. Wow. So that's a fancy way of saying he goes in and teaches professional organizations restorative justice practices. And they're all done from an indigenous culturally significant background. So he had a fellowship in Las Vegas for 2 years. Mm. So we moved in Las Vegas, and my family is from Las Vegas. We've been there since 1902. So we've been there for a long time.
Nice. Wow.
And then I remembered, I don't like Vegas. So after his 2 year fellowship, it was right at 2010 during the census, and I came back to work for Mayor Villaraigosa's census office. So I came back to do that, to be the special marketing consultant for the census, for hard to reach population. That's kind of the coin word for undocumented, homeless, transitional homeless, people experiencing homelessness, anyone that doesn't want that knock on the door or that doesn't have a door to be knocked on. Does that kind of work? And I came back to that. By extension, I had a friend who ran the conservatory. That was his nonprofit. And when we came back, we just decided, let's take the conservatory, which at that time was only doing free music lessons. And we just completely turned it upside down and turned it into a career development organization.
That's amazing.
Let's talk a little bit about what that is.
Sure.
How does it work? Can anyone apply? Where is it? After school program, a real full day? What is it?
Absolutely. Boyle Heights Arts Conservatory is a nonprofit located in Los Angeles, and it's a career development nonprofit that introduces pathways to careers in film, television, broadcasting, radio and podcasting, and digital content creation. So YouTube channels, anything along those lines. And the programming is open to everyone. There isn't a regional or an age, but our sweet spot is kind of 8 to 28. We have programming before and programming after, but 8 to 28 is about, it's about the age range.
You can still go, Palina.
I know.
You need to learn how to podcast.
For real. I'm listening to it. I'm like, that's why I wanted to hear the age. And I'm like, I just missed it. I just turned 29.
Your daughter can go.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, my daughter just still do have professional workshops in that age range, but kind of you can start off. One of the first introductions people have to our programming is usually on cartoons and cereal. So Cartoons and Cereal is the last Saturday of every month. It is a program where we set up a cereal bar And then we show a cartoon, usually 1980 and before, because those are still hand-drawn.
Got it.
And we show the cartoon. Then a professional artist actually goes through an exercise. And the participants learn. And then at the end, we count the jobs. So as the credits are rolling, we count how many jobs there are. So much like a, you know, 2 and 3 year old knows, I want to be a nurse or I'm going to be a fireman. Our 2 and 3 year olds know, I know what a line artist is. I know what an inker and a penciler is, because those are, we just want to incorporate those kind of careers just as organically as when you're watching Sesame Street, you know, and you see here's 7 jobs. Well, there's actually 8 jobs because the guy holding the camera is a job too.
Wow. I didn't even think about, like, you know, when you watch a show, you don't even think about those things. But I was remembering my daughter is, she's 8. She's really into comics. That's what she's into right now. That's what she loves reading. I didn't even know how much until every time we go to the library to pick up new books for her to read. There's so many different comic books that are for her age. And they're about friendship and sister. She reads one that's called Sisters. And it's about two sisters fighting all the time. She's like, Mom, this is me and that's Sabina. And she's really into cartoons. So I'm listening to this. I'm like, that would be something fun for her to do on Saturdays.
Yeah, this month is our Scooby-Doo edition. So it's Scooby-Doo and the Monsters. Mm-hmm. And we'll be drawing monsters.
And so they teach them how to draw?
We'll teach them how. Now, they're not always necessarily a drawing exercise. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you're building something like masks. A few months ago, we did what kind of superhero would you be? So we took all the characteristics that a young person kind of shouted out, and then we created those characteristics into a superhero mode. Wow. And they actually, it was an acrylic. It was resin. We poured the mold. The young people poured actually the mold, and then they painted their own superhero characters.
So I can just walk in there and say, I want like my kids.
Do you need to sign up for this?
We always recommend you sign up, but quite honestly, we have such a variable population. Boyle Heights in particular, we don't have a high internet connectivity in Boyle Heights. Mm-hmm. So you hope people sign up and you make room for them because they won't.
Got it.
So we have a whole cereal buffet. We put out a cereal buffet. You pour your bowl. You grab different kinds of, you know, animal and or plant based milk, and then you kind of sit down and eat your cereal. And we have actually people that come without kids. So I definitely don't want to give the impression it's only children. We have adults that come without children. Last month was our Hello Kitty anniversary, and I believe it was probably 50-50. Probably had 50% families and 50% adults or.
Can you drop off your child and come and get him, or do you stay with him?
You could drop them off. But, you know, your mileage varies. If you think your child is going to be bored or et cetera, we recommend you come in with them. But no, for the most part, most of our programs, we'd like to ask the parents to allow their young people to independently come on to what they want to do.
Yes.
So if you can come to the first day, that kind of segues into the parent education we do. We always say that we educate as many parents as we do youth, because I think many parents, especially in our communities.
Yes.
If you say, you know, mommy, voy a ser DJ or, you know, voy a ser un YouTuber, they freak out. I would like to be a serial killer. So we sit down and we talk.
Gangster.
Yeah, we sit down and we talk to the parents, and we let them know. One of the activities we do with their parents, especially with our young women, we let them tell us, what kind of career do you envision for your daughter? And inevitably, it's always dental assistant or
nurse,
medical. That's, you know, oh no, trabajo muy bueno. You know, you go to the dentist office, you make so much money. We're like, great, great, great. And we grab a computer and we pull up the starting salaries. And then on the board, we pull up the starting salaries of a video game coder, of a basic intro PA, of just like starting salaries of industry related, creative arts related jobs.
Wow.
And they look at it and they're like, oh, wow. No, pues sí, mija, that's the job. No, this is a job.
Ten tu vuelta de regreso.
Vente para allá. You know, that's a good job. But we don't know what we don't know.
That's true.
So if our parents come here and they get freaked out just of knowing the messages that come through to you, you have to go to college. You have to get your master's. You have to. Any young person that isn't necessarily following that paint by number schedule, a parent's going to freak out. And yeah. We're just trying to say, don't freak out. Hold on. Because there are paths that are different, but the accomplishment is the same.
True. Like
we understand that your child who decided to become a doctor, which is amazing, mm-hmm. is of no less value than your child who decided to become a grip or decided to become a sound engineer. And I also want to remind you that one of those children didn't leave with $180,000 in debt.
That's true.
So conversations, realistic conversations we can have with our parents. And also the reality that, you know, for every two of you on a mic, there are 10 times that many people behind you.
That's so true.
That have nothing to do with being on the mic. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't really matter how tall or short or skinny or fat or whatever you are. If you can do that job, you can pretty much move around to any production.
That's so true. Every time we go to the movies and, you know, after the credits, every time my kids see a last name, either Lopez or Velasquez, they're like, look, mom, is that our family? Is that our cousin? I'm like, no, but it could be you.
That's a great example. And if you noticed, even in the past decade, especially when you're going to any kind of animated or CGI related yes. movies, you will see a lot of Latinos names
that is
out
so
there.
True. So
and,
true.
And we don't count. Another reason why we only do cartoons and serial up to 1980 is we can't count that many jobs after. Yeah. I mean, to tell you the truth, that's another reason. But if you do start looking at those jobs, you realize somewhere along the line, there's a lineage to that. Mm-hmm. Some Latino got in mm-hmm. and got his cousin or somebody else in, and then it was a floodgate of that, which is something that obviously has been going on in the industry since the beginning of time.
Yeah.
But we want to promote that.
That's
we want so you to leave that door open.
Cool. Yeah. And then some of us don't even think about those non-traditional jobs, right? Like, and you're right. Like, I would have never thought like a grip. I don't even know what a grip is. You know, like, what is a grip? I want to be a grip when I grow up. Okay. You know, so we don't think about those. We think doctor, lawyer. And I don't even think those are, I mean, I don't know. To me, I feel like a grip is having probably more fun than a lawyer, you know?
It depends what kind of lawyer, but yeah, I agree. Whatever it is, it's like finding something you like to do,
yes.
right? Like that's what you want to do. And introducing them at a very young age allows us to have these very normal conversations. It's very regular. So a young person would start with cartoons and serials, and then they would move into our introduction to YouTube. Mm. It's exactly what it sounds like. You know, we set up a YouTube channel safely. We teach the parents how to turn off comments, how to make sure that their children aren't using their real name, that there's no identifying, you know, please don't start filming with your school uniform on, you know, anything like that.
Yeah.
So you go from there. And then from that introduction, you have to learn how to score your YouTube. So then we go into music production and the business of music. And then you can move into more of a digital content, or you could move into actual TV filming, how to shoot your own web series, how to do that. And we juxtapose that with our radio and broadcasting program.
That is so much fun.
Hold on, because this sounds like a $30,000 a year school. So here, a question. How do you guys work on your calendar? Is it weekends? Is it throughout the week? Is it summer? Is it fall? Like what does your schedule look like, and what do your classes look like?
We have summer and fall intensives, which means you go to class every day during the summer for a period of 6 weeks. And then our fall intensive, it's twice a week. You would do your class, and then we rotate. So if this season, for instance, it's music production. So if you come on Thursdays and then you pick one alternative studio day, you would go into Sessions LA, which is our studio program. And that program, we allow two students per week to become studio managers. So then they have to manage the time, who gets to record, who's going into editing, who's in the sound booth. And you learn how to manage that. And you learn how to do all those positions as well. And then we talk about the business aspect. Wow. My background is in the music industry, so I know how important it is to understand licensing, publishing, performance rights, the things that'll make wow. you money, but it'll also make your daughter money and then her daughter money. So these are the things that last a lifetime.
I want to learn that.
How do I get my daughter to become a millionaire on YouTube?
For real. Yeah.
Okay, got it. So then throughout the fall is twice a week. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming after school.
After school, yes. And then in the summer, we run all programming. So this previous summer, we did back-to-back. We did introduction to web series, introduction to YouTube. We did beat making and production on a micro level. We also had animation and then stop motion.
Wow.
So we run those. So if you want it, you could take the series. If you don't, you could just say, oh, I only want to learn beat making. Great. Just come to the beat making class.
Wow. I can't see Krista all over this.
How old do the kids have to be?
It depends on the class, but usually that 8 to 28. Now, a 28-year-old is never in the class with an 8-year-old, but we usually, you know, and some of our 28-year-olds may act like 8-year-olds, but we cut them so 8 to 10, and then you have 11 to 13, then you have what we call your teen classes, so high school age are all together.
So fun.
And if you are older than the high school age, then you go into more of our professional development classes.
Wow. I don't know why I've never heard about this before. This is so incredible.
And this is free, right?
Pardon me?
Is this free?
They are without cost to the parent or the children. So they're not free to us. We have to find the funds to pay for every student.
Wow.
But we do offer them without a financial burden on the family.
Thank you.
And we kind of figure out how to do that. And most of it is through, we're an interesting organization in that what we do is not art. So we don't really qualify to apply for art grants or.
But it is art, no?
We think so. Yes. But if you look at just the bullet points. Bullet points. So really we ran for approximately 3 years without any public funding. Wow. We were almost 100% funded by our board of directors. And then something kind of switched. Because the conversation switched into looking at art as a career. Mm-hmm. And since not because we're better at it, not because we have such amazing classes, but because we were so ahead of the curve mm-hmm. when the switch happened, we were already positioned to be able to have these conversation with funders because we're already the test guinea pig. That's we're like, yeah, no, actually this is how it works and this is how you do it. And it kind of turned into a situation where funders are now beginning to understand. So we're very lucky that we do have local, city, state, and federal government.
And do you have a lot of people going, or is still things that people don't know about, and you know, or you have like a waiting list of people that want to go in?
For some of our class, we only allow 8 to 12 students per class. So for some of our classes, you have a waiting list. Mm. For other classes, they become very intensive because you only have 5 or 6 youth that want to take this class. Mm. But you know, we don't even stop a class if only one young person wants to take it.
Wow.
Because you might not know what it is, and that one person will, you know, let other people know. But in conjunction with the work we do with our incarcerated youth, we probably cycle through between 400 and 500 students a year.
Wow, that's amazing.
Let's talk about that.
Yes. Please.
How does that work?
Which part?
The incarcerated youth.
Well, a lot of different parts. There's so many things happening in my head right now.
wait, what?
I mean, take a drink.
It's not a michelada though, it's water. I'm saying.
So.
Well, now you're filmed, you know that.
I know, see? Right? I know. That's just like
it's water. Before. It's water.
With a little bit of mezcal in there. Mm. Yesterday, my mom walked in. We were having water with ice and lemon, and she's like, what are you guys drinking? I'm like, oh, a gin and tonic. She was like, ay, dame. And I'm like, mom, it's 11 a.m. I'm totally kidding.
Somewhere.
I'm like, I'm really not having a gin and tonic at 11 a.m., mom. Okay. Let's peel it back. Did you guys start working with incarcerated youth right away? Was it something in your mission from the beginning, or was it something that you guys found was needed in the community?
I think if we all kind of took a personal assessment, it wouldn't take a long time for us to find someone whose system impacted our family. Mm-hmm. So we realized from the very first student that we were always taking young people that had been in some way impacted by the juvenile justice system. Now, what does that mean? That could mean my dad was incarcerated. That's actually a real thing. My dad was incarcerated, so I understood from that point of view. Or I was incarcerated. I had, you know, the XYZ, somebody that mm-hmm. in my family has somehow been impacted. But it's not just the incarcerated that are impacted. It's yes. the mom that's left with the kids, or the dad that's left trying to figure out, how do I take care of my family while their mom is put away? So we realized that need immediately, because it is an intergenerational trauma.
Yes.
And it is a harm that has been done in our community endlessly. It's a cycle. And our first gut instinct is always to say, well, let's blame those guys. Mm-hmm. Let's blame the gangbangers. But that gangbanger is my cousin. So mm-hmm. I know that person. I know a different part of him. So one thing we immediately started to unpack was that language, the language of deficit, the language of, when you come in, I'm not going to separate the gangbanger or the young person who is a foster youth or an incarcerated. I'm not separating you. I am acknowledging that you have trauma that I have to deal with separately, mm-hmm. but I'm not separating you. So from the beginning, we always kind of like incorporated anyone into our programs. And from that, we were asked to join in 2017, the Arts for Incarcerated Youth Network, which is AIYN Network, is an amazing network of partner organizations that all go into our juvenile detention halls, camps, JDRCs, which are juvenile detention reporting centers. So any young person with an ankle bracelet, what we used to call continuation schools, are JDRCs. And then,
oh, they rebranded, huh?
And then pre-impact. So parks, recs, anywhere where you see young people that could be influenced in different ways, we say, well, let's start with this influence first, right? Mm-hmm. And when we joined AIYN, we were then able to take the workshops that we do at the Boyle Heights Arts Conservatory and then kind of retool them a bit and offer them inside our system. Wow. So if you can take podcasting at BHAC, you could take it at Camp Scott or Camp Rocky, or if you're learning how to make beats or modifying production, or if you want to know how to do stop motion or animation, you can find those classes as well. Wow. Now, the criminal system for young people has changed dramatically. And the shift is, you know, one time we had something like 9,800 incarcerated youth in Los Angeles County.
Wow.
Those numbers are under 1,000, which means that.
That's amazing.
But the money is still put in as if there were that many. So one of the things AIYN is especially conscious of is understanding that the resources should still impact the youth. The resources should still go to young people that are in the system, because quite honestly, what are you going to do with them? You're going to throw them away? Mm-hmm. Our youngest student is 12. What am I going to do with them?
Yes.
Should they just, okay, you made that mistake at 12 and you're done. So that's something 12. We're really conscious of as well, but also incorporating them, welcoming back them, having them part of our society, because there is absolutely no win in separating our youth like
so
that.
Yeah.
There isn't. The harm you do to the mom when her child can't be part of something because of this.
Yes.
You know, and continuing to work through that trauma, continuing to work with that is what we do. So one way that our organization is different from many others is we are an organization that is run by people of color, that program for people of color. And you will see that is very rarely the case. Yeah. I can probably count on less than one hand organizations that do that. So we're coming from a different frame immediately.
It reminds me of that show Insecure, you know, when Issa Rae is working in that nonprofit to service kids of color, and she's the only person
of color.
Yeah. And it's funny, but it's not.
Yes.
Because that actually is a thing. And you look around and many times that very Eurocentric way of programming and looking at things is what we want to push on a very non-Eurocentric population.
Yes.
So yes, we took that step back and said, wait a minute. we have our ways. Yeah. We have our traditional ways. We have ways that have been handed down to us. Let us take a stab at running our situation like that. So that kind of blossom from that. So we are very conscious of that. And our programming, you come in and it is a little different. We start all our sessions with our incarcerated youth with a grounding ceremony that either comes from an indigenous background or from a Yoruba African background or from a holistic spiritual, if you will, background. And we start all our sessions like that. So everybody understands we're grounding you, we're centering the energy, and we are respecting that you're where you're at and we're where we're at. And we want to honor our ancestors and put that programming together. And it absolutely has a shift.
Wow.
When our teachers walk in and they see a brown and a black teacher together, even the kids look at each other and they're like, you don't have any white people teaching? Oh, I didn't really think about it. And it's certainly not by any design. But because so many of our teachers are they themselves formerly incarcerated youth, yeah, I guess we don't, but it really has an impact on young people. When you see someone that looks like you,
yes, definitely,
that is showing you something that is of interest to you, but they sound like you.
Definitely.
That is like a complete to your brain.
That is.
Yeah, so you could do it.
But I think when you make a mistake at that young age, I don't, you know, it's not, I feel like most of the time it's not intentional. It's very emotional, everything that happens. And then you come back, you either come back to something positive or you come back to the same ways. So this program, I think, allows the youth that goes to come back into like a more positive light, something better, instead of coming back to the way things were, you know, before you left. And then you are sucked in. And I think that's why they, you know, what do you call it? They go back and they come in, and once they're 18, then it's just a cycle, right? So, yeah.
And because we're still here. So we're still working with your family while you're at Camp Rocky. We're still here working with your little sister and your mom, and she's coming in, and you know, we're still part of the community, which is so important.
Wow.
Like making sure that we don't go anywhere.
What kind of success have you seen in these students once they rejoin the community? Or what kind of success, or not even, I mean, let's talk about that, but also I want to see, have you seen a child grow up in BHAC and seen a shift in their life and in their parents' life?
We've formally only been programming as the BHAC since 2016. Mm-hmm. So that different and change was that with this career development. But I can give you some examples, I guess, successes in the mind of, you know, whoever says the word. But one thing that we have been able to is we have been able to employ approximately 3.5-4 dozen youth that were former students that now have been able to move on to actual jobs in either sound or in lighting.
Wow.
Equipment. I mean, not glamorous jobs, but jobs that they learn how to be jobs. Roadie, how to set up a mic, you know, what your instruments are. I would say I could probably pull in 4 or 5 youth that could come in and set up the system that's in here.
No, give me their names later.
You're awesome. You're great. But
we'll talk after this.
You know, such an important thing to know how to do.
Yes.
We've got those. So are they making tons of money? Probably not yet. However, the alternative to that was not knowing that these things are there. So we measure our success in kind of different impact that we have. And not necessarily a financial impact, although that's awesome because that's our end goal is to be able to have a living wage, a sustainable wage for young people.
Yeah.
We fight that battle on another ground. But just even knowing that our young people are able to discover something that's completely new to them, to us, that's how we mark our success as well. But even if we didn't, we have young people that are employed.
That's so cool.
So beautiful.
But I think, like, you know, kids are so creative, and like finding a way to express their creativity, that's how new things are born. And, you know, maybe one of them will, you know, have the next movie because they just have it in their mind, and you guys are nurturing that. So I think that's incredible that you guys are doing that.
And we talk about all those careers too, because one of our young women that came in, Scarlett, actually, her dream was to be a sous chef, which is normally not something a young person knows or even what it is. And
how old is she?
She is 18. Oh, so she just turned 18, almost 19. But when we got her, she was 16. And we were able to develop a partnership with Chef Mario Cristiano, who is the owner of the restaurant on the second floor. And he brought her in as a prep cook. And she is now learning what she could never have afforded to do. So even there, like, who's feeding these cast and crews? Of course, you have catering companies. You have all those jobs to us are beneficial and they're important jobs. And we're just really putting the word out there. Mm-hmm. We want people to know. So if you are a catering company and you're on a lot and you're wondering,
I'm right here.
You know, and you're wondering, where's my next three or four interns coming from?
Yeah.
So that's our next battle. For us, our next battle is really to get on the lots, because the union themselves, you know, it's a whole different situation. But saying to them, you don't have to take all our youth, but will you take one a semester?
Mm-hmm.
If you have a catering company, can you take one of them and you come and choose whichever one? I mean, whichever one you think está listo or no está listo, you know, like.
Can, el que se ve más vivo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you have them? Yeah. Can you take them on? And we even actually pay for those first 100 hours.
That's
so the great. First 100 hours, your training hours, your oops, like, you know, how that happened hours, we'll pay for those if you take that young person into the fold. So that's our next step. Our next step is actually saying, hey, Hollywood, you end up making a lot of money from portraying our neighborhoods and our people and our music. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you want to live thug life, but you don't want to compensate thug life. Mm. So in that Dang. Aspect, we need you to
tweet that right back. There.
And maybe that is from my experience in the record business. You know, all the money that was made off of the true life inspired by true life stories. Well, all those true life people, like, you need to open the door. It is unjust that we live in a Hollywood where that gate is locked and that gate is in our backyard.
Yes. Incredible. We've actually, at a restaurant, we partner up with a program that was, training, formerly incarcerated people. And one of our sous chefs is from there, and he's incredible, amazing. We love him. And that program ended. But you know, if you have people to the right way,
we've got you.
We've definitely going to be talking a lot after this show. But for last question, how can our community get more involved with what you're doing? How can the Super Amas get involved, help you in any way possible? Where I know there's need, help is always needed, but is there a direct way that we can help as a community?
Yeah, I'm going to give you two direct ways you can help. The most spectacular way you can help is when those youth come back home, just take them in, remind them that they're still part of your neighborhood, that you know, you love their moms, you love their dads, you have them also in your thoughts and in your actions. So that's the most direct thing that doesn't cost you a dime. You don't have to come down. You don't have to spend any time with us. Mm-hmm. When they come home, just let them be home.
Yes.
Remind them that they're home. And if you wanted to take a step further and you actually believe in the programming we're doing and you understand the program that we're doing, and let's say you have a skill set that you think would be of use to us, you know how to produce, you know how to make beats, you know how to hold a camera, we would love to invite you to come in and mentor our younger students. So for every professional artist, and that's that, we actually have a model at the BHAC where no artist works for free with us. So for every artist that we're paying and is coming in, whether they're a cameraman or voice person or whatever, then we ask that you mentor a younger person who's also getting paid. You mentor them to shadow in your position. So we have a lead teaching artist, and then we have an apprentice teaching artist. Wow. So those lead teaching artists are what we always look for.
That's so beautiful.
That's what we always ask for and what we look for. And you can go to our website, which is BH Arts. So B as in Boyle, H as in Heights, Arts, ARTS.org. And I'm sure you can link it up to them too.
We will.
And we have a volunteer page right there. You can just fill us out. Tell us what you want to do. Tell us how you want to help. Is it something as simple as coming by, or every now and then we always get surprised when we get a check out of nowhere and it'll be someone that's like, oh, I like what you're doing, which is also awesome. But there's just so many ways that we can kind of feed this environment and work together. But definitely the one thing that is most important is when they come home, let them come home.
Yes.
Let them come home.
Yes.
Thank you so much. Let's take a break. You ready for our...
I know. I'm like, yeah, so inspired. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's like soak it all in.
Let's soak it all in.
Hey sisters, thank you so much for listening. Hope all of you guys are subscribed to our newsletter. If you're not, make sure you hit that subscribe button on supermamas.com. We will be sending out invites to upcoming events, promos, and super cool surprises your way. And of course, you can always keep up with us through the gram at _supermamas and on Twitter also at _supermamas and in el Face at supermamas podcast.
One more thing. We want to hear your Super Mama moment of the week to share with all of you sisters. Call into our hotline, 424-329-3707, and leave us a message or simply email us a voice note to hello@supermamas.com. Very soon, we could be featuring you on the show. Please remember to leave your name and Instagram handle for a chance to be featured.
Okay, now back to the show. Thing. Just because this happened to me today, I went to tour a kindergarten, a private kindergarten, and I was just like, I was listening to the program that they have available, and this is just one of other five kindergartens that I've heard of and known of, and every time I go to these things, I always leave sad, because I'm just thinking, how are these... Does it take that much money for a child to have a proper education in this city? Like, where you have activities like stop motion, where kids create their own podcasts in third grade. You know, all these things that you're talking about right now. And I'm just thinking, there should be a lot more things, or a lot more programs and more institutes like BH Arts. And should be affordable and free to our community, and should be attached to a regular curriculum. You know, it's just, it really is. I always leave these tours just being extremely sad, because everyone that's touring, it's not someone that looks like my son, you know?
Yes.
My friend was so funny, because my friend has his kids there, and he says, they'll give you a scholarship just because you're Mexican. Just apply. They gave me a financial aid, and I'm like, all right, they need us. And I was like, all right, well, that's what I'm going to do.
I always consider myself like two different moms. I have an 18-year-old and I have an 11-year-old. They're completely different. The 11-year-old was a surprise.
If you have an 18 and 11.
Yeah, I have an 18-year-old. Now, my 18-year-old went to El Sereno Middle School. He's a public school kid. Mm-hmm. We went to the Magnet, which honestly was an amazing school, amazing opportunities. And then my 11-year-old goes to school in South Pasadena. It's two very different experiences. However, the value of those experiences, to me, the value of Sholo, who is my son, Sholo going to school amongst people who were like him and motivated, outweighs the value of Oshun going to a school that is over-resourced. Mm. So those two things I find very interesting, in that the stress of being in a school that everybody is just so pressured along the same path. We're all going to go to college. We're all going to be straight A students. We're all going to achieve these cookie cutter atmospheres. Whereas my son had a very different trajectory. And I look at those two things, and I came from from private school background. So I always thought, well, my kids can never go to public school. That is shocking to me. And then I realized that the resources as parents that we could bring in kind of like even it out. So if you have a school in your community that you realize is super open to you coming in and saying, I'll take a live scan and I'll teach YouTube. You know, I'll come in and I'll do that. Now, we can't all do that as parents. We all work and et cetera. However, we may be able to sustain a program like that just from the amount of money that they, that the school districts spend on our kids anyway. So if we could say as parents, we understand you're spending XYZ on the football team. Yay. That's awesome. Can you shave some of that? And could you give us a media department? Mm. Could we have a broadcasting department and really be that parent? Be that parent. Like, that's, I was a parent.
That is
when the principals would come in, they'd be like, yeah. Oh my God. Oh, why is she back? What now?
That is so true. Yeah. You know, the kids that the school that my kids go to is a charter school that was started by parents that were like, hey, we got to do something, get together. And I know, you know, people that see me and other parents that are always there, they're like, oh, there they are, those people, you know, like, I'm like, oh, those people. But I'm like, we have to be there. We have to be there. We have, like, the principal knows me. I'm like, hi, Raul, I'm here. Hey, so, like, I heard, so you have to bring these things up and you have to be on their ear and you have to be on the teacher and you have to be, but otherwise it just won't happen. You know,
and also valuing education as education, valuing our youth that go to community college as much as our youth that got to go to USC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, that kind of value, I think, is important. So yes, the private school experience is amazing if that fits your family. However, the public school experience can also be amazing for your very specific young person as well.
Yeah.
It's so like true. That involvement.
So I know.
So I want true. All the listeners to go to their school tomorrow and say, yes. Hey, our soccer team is awesome. Our football team is awesome. Can we have a school broadcasting? Mm. Can we have a radio show in the morning? Can we also buy what would amount to $1,200 worth of equipment and have an in-house radio station? So that's whatever awesome. It costs you to buy helmets for half a year, we would like you to spend that amount and fund a radio station for 10 years.
And then if it doesn't work, gather your friends and start picketing outside.
Yeah. I find most, I definitely find that most educators, you know, the squeaky wheel, right? And that they'll listen.
They will.
And especially if you've done some of the research for them.
That's true.
And say, yeah. Look, and then you come up with your crew, though. You got to come deep, I feel, right?
I don't know. I never had a crew.
Two or three?
No, it's just me.
Just you?
It's just me. I see la super metiche, you know, just, it was me. Because I had the luxury of knowing that some moms cannot go because they're there.
So true.
So I took the L, you know, take the L for the moms that can't come in. Just go in and be like, I'm here again, Mr. Freeman. El Sereno Magnet. You know, I'm here again. And little by little, then you realize, like, yes, and leave the school better for the kid after you.
You're so right.
I should be doing something. I'm on the board of that school. I should be doing more.
Entra, Paulina. Enter with your mic, with your laptop.
I'm going to teach the kids how to do it. I should get a podcasting class. I mean, I have all the things.
Until they went to the school and these kids did a podcast, they were in fourth grade, third grade. And I'm like, I just wish, like, that openness of, you know, was available in other schools that are available for free and they're not so about AYC testing and, you know, this. Oh, yeah,
that's got to be a whole other episode, right?
Yeah. But anyway, let's get into fire questions. These are really fun. We don't want to get into trouble. Okay, number one. I'm really interested about how you're going to answer these. Ariel or Jasmine? You can say neither if you're not into Disney, too.
So I'm just going to say from super off the top of my head, which one was the mermaid?
Ariel.
Her.
Yay! So her. Any particular reason?
Oh, she's Yemaya.
She's what?
She's Yemaya. So, you know, Ariel is Yemaya. She's one of the Orishas. She's a Serena.
Oh, okay. Wow. I'm like, what?
Please explain further.
Please explain for everyone for everyone else that doesn't know what that is. Obviously, hello, I know, but I just want to say, for those who don't know.
Yeah, so I just remember when we were teaching our daughter about the main Orishas, and we kept coming back to Yemaya, who's the Orisha of the oceans. She just kept going, Ariel. And it dawned on me, like, oh, yeah, her. That one. So amazing. That's, I think of that.
I want to say that's the most interesting answer yet.
Yes. Yeah.
You
topped the last one.
You topped the last
one. I always say this because he was the first one to say Ariel. He's like, I don't know, I like seafood.
Ooh, No.
Oh, it was also a guy.
No. He's a guy.
Texting or phone call?
Oh, phone call. 100%.
Dinner and a movie or Netflix and chill?
No. Movie. I say even a bad movie is better than no movie theater experience.
Yeah.
And here's a fun little fact. In Los Angeles, most of the main theaters are actually calibrated sound-wise to be the best sound you can hear in the nation because the directors may walk in at any time. So if you get to go to your Alma your Alamo or ArcLight or AMC in certain areas, your sound will be perfect.
All right.
So go to the movies.
You know, I'm going to tell that to my husband. That. He's going to be so happy. Last great movie you watched?
The last great movie I watched was The Peanut Butter Eagle.
Huh.
Really?
Falcon. Peanut Butter Falcon.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I haven't heard of that. I'm going to watch that. Favorite book?
Favorite book is either Como Agua para Chocolate.
Oh, Tita.
Or Caramba.
I haven't read Caramba.
Caramba is a children's book about this. It's in a world where all squirrels can fly. This squirrel cannot fly, so all the other squirrels make fun of him. And he keeps trying, and he just can't succeed. And he realized once by falling that he fell into the water and he could swim, and no squirrel could swim.
Oh,
so the little squirrel's name was Caramba.
I'm gonna get that book.
And he can swim. And all the other squirrels were like, what? How do you do that? He's like, I don't know. I'm just awesome.
Oh my God. Is this for a third, fourth, fifth grade? Is it just since they're 2 years old, you can
read
them
all the time? So I have to read it now.
But listen, my bedtime storybooks seem to be like 5 pages and I'm out of that room.
You could probably get
like a 10 minute.
It's probably a 10 minute book.
Okay.
And if you do the voices, it's probably 15.
Okay. What a horrible mom am I.
The best friend.
How
the French
bad
voice,
of a mom I am.
The mom had I make voices for all of the characters.
My son is like, mommy, you skipped the page. And I'm like, I forgot you know this book. Okay, last book you read.
The last book I read or reread, every year I read Last Exit to Brooklyn.
Every year
I read Last Exit to Brooklyn, and every other year I read Dharma Bums by Jack Kerouac. So I continuously read those.
You're such an intellectual.
You
woman.
Are educated.
No, I don't know if that's true, but the books are there, and I'm like, oh, I can knock out a few pages without thinking about it. But I love books. I just love reading. I wish I had more time to read. And I'm not even one of those book people that's like,
I do too.
I would never have a Kindle. I have a Kindle. I have it on my phone. I do audiobooks. Right now I have a different audiobook, so Children of Blood and Bone. And then I have a different book on my Kindle, which is a Walter Mosley. And then I have a different book that I'm reading, así con página.
And you're changing children's life day in, day out. Well, look at you.
Wow.
I feel very unaccomplished.
Okay, for real.
Massage or facial?
Oh, massage. I don't know. I've given up on my face. I just massage. I see pa qué. Well, because your body, you're going to need longer than your face, right?
100%.
So true. Hoops or eyeliner?
I don't know how to do eyeliner, so hoops. I know how to put those in. I just learned how to do eyeliner 2 years ago. And when I say learn, it's a very loose use of the word. I know what it is now.
Early riser or night owl?
I am sadly both. Mm. It sucks. I go to bed at 2 or 3 in the morning and I wake up at 6:40.
That's not good for your body.
It's horrible for your body,
by the way. That's not something
but
you
do nap. I'm a huge advocate of naps.
Oh, okay, got it. Ah, okay. I think there's a name for that. I don't know what they call it in the health and world space.
Can you beep this out?
But
pendeja. That's my name for
it. No. It's a way to aggregate sleeping. So people do like 3 hours and then they wake up for a certain amount of hours and they nap it's like this.
I'm so scientific. I'm ahead of the curve.
You are. You always.
Anyway, Beyonce or Selena? Selena.
Those are my choices, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One of those two people, right?
Uh-huh.
I have to choose one of those.
Uh-huh.
Oh, Beyonce.
Beyonce or J-Lo?
Beyonce.
Yay! No, las mías. Okay.
Tampons or pads?
Moon cup.
Of course, you are ahead of the game. See?
Look at you.
Coffee.
You are my spirit animal.
Trying to explain to my daughter how to use a moon cup because she's at that age now where where all her friends are period talking. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh my God, what if I get my period in school? The best time to get your period is on the weekend, you know, or on vacation. And she like is always talking about it. And she's like, Mom, you need to teach me how to use the moon cup. And I was like, oh, I don't even know if it'll fit. Okay, sure, let's look at it. And of course, there's videos how to do everything. So we have these long conversations. And then she went and told her friends, and her friends were like, oh, that's so cochino, and you're going to touch it. I was like, man, if you are uncomfortable touching your vagina, this is a problem. It's your friends that are weirdos.
Yeah.
Not you, mija.
No, it's good for you.
Good for you. We were talking about that earlier.
Changing generational chains.
Yes.
Breaker of chains.
My sister and I still wear pads because my mom told us tampons would lose our virginity if we use. So we never learn how to use them. So we're still pad people. How sad is that?
I do cups here and there. Here and there.
It's like the throwing away, though. That's, to me, it was like, oh, where are you going to throw all these pads? And just it freaks me out to think of the thing landfills about full of them.
The thing about the moon cup, diva cup, all sorts of cups, it's if you're like a heavier, if you're in your heavier day and you have to do a change in the middle of the day and dump it, you need to be prepared in the restroom to wipe your hands. So I haven't really figured that part out yet.
So yes and no.
Well, see.
So you by the way, it's never happened to me. The amount you're talking about is so huge. I don't even know if anybody could flow that much, but let's just say yes. That's happening, you grab two paper towels, right?
Yeah.
And you wet them a little and you put a little soap and you make your own moist wipe from it. So, you know, you make your own little moist wipe. Uh-huh. Y ahí lo tienes en la mano. And then you dump it out and you just you clean inside and outside. And then just, you clean your hands off enough and then insert back in and use whatever's left to clean around you so that nothing gets around. And then go wash your hands like a normal person.
Great tip.
Schooling us.
I'm telling you, are just full of knowledge. Oh my God. Perfect. Coffee or tequila?
I don't drink either. I don't drink, period. I drink no alcohol, and then I don't drink coffee. So neither.
Good for you. Look at you. See?
You
are this is what I strive to be.
But I can make an amazing margarita. So I grew up in our family restaurant business.
You're what I strive to be.
So margaritas are what I can make.
At some point, I will give up both. Not today, though. Or tomorrow. well, then there goes that one.
Give up either.
There we go. I mean, the next one, then I can't. Favorite cocktail? Or non-alcoholic cocktail?
Oh, I love a virgin piña colada.
Or
piña colada.
A virgin piña colada. Or I love any kind of like virgin Mai Tai.
Mm. Oh, okay.
My husband Omar like gets really natural homemade ingredients and makes his, you know, we make our own grenadine and everything. And then he makes a great Mai Tai.
So good. Your go-to favorite taco?
Mm-hmm. My go-to is cinco puntos, ahí, por favor.
I go there too. What flavor? I mean,
so I don't eat meat.
Strawberry.
No,
I don't eat meat. So I usually don't eat things with hooves. So I'll have a chicken taco every now and then. But even then, I haven't eaten meat since I was 16. I gave it up for Lent. Then I gave up Lent. And then I never went back to eating.
You're amazing.
I'm telling you, you are my spirit animal that doesn't drink or eat meat because I do.
However, I do have fun. Just because I don't do that, I can still, I get down. I'm the person you call when someone needs to get like, when you need to bring muscle in, I'm the one.
Okay, got it.
Sex or massage?
Or McDonald's?
That too. Sex or McDonald's?
McDonald's.
Sex at McDonald's.
Sex in McDonald's.
What is the sex question? With Ronald McDonald.
Oh no.
No, I said sex or a massage.
Oh, well, let's see. It was sex.
Oh, sex.
And
yes.
A massage after.
Oh, that's
see,
a bad.
You are smart.
And then last question, what are you absolutely loving right now? Just everything. You're just, it could be anything. Your Kindle, your app.
Yeah, I love that we live someplace that in the end of October, it's still in the 90s.
Yeah.
And I love that we live someplace that you could drive for about 2.5 hours and be like beach, mountain.
Mm-hmm.
I think LA is
Mexico.
So perfect. Mexico. Yeah. I think I was listening to a show recently and you guys were talking about, was it Ensenada?
Yes. Valle de Guadalupe.
Yeah. Okay. So I was listening to that. And when we were planning our spring vacation, I was like, why do we pay money to go to San Diego? This is insane. Why did we ever think to go to Ensenada?
Oh,
so
we booked.
I know. Nice. We already booked.
Oh, it's
nice.
Amazing.
It's
amazing.
Well, thank you for allowing us to influence you.
A little bit.
Oh, no. Thank you so much for being here. This was absolutely awesome. I hope
such
you come back.
I had a great time.
My gosh.
And then you guys
need
have to come to our radio station.
I would love to.
Maybe
we could do like a live show from there.
Should.
Or something.
Oh, that'd be definitely
great.
Should.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah. Yes.
And I'm definitely taking my kids.
I'm all about the youth, man. I'm all about the youth.
Yeah, you're like Wu-Tang.
Yeah. No, the thing is that the other day I was in a panel and I didn't know. I'm going to out myself, but a lot of the times I go to these things, I have no idea where I'm going.
No, same.
And I just like, I don't look or read or whatever. I look at my calendar, be here at 5. You're going to talk. Great. So I sit in the panel and then I realize they're busing girls in from high school. So then I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to talk to 60 high school girls. Oh my God. Like then I got really nervous, but then I started thinking, well, what would I want to say to a younger me? Mm-hmm. And it starts thinking about the youth differently, you know?
It's all going to be okay.
Yeah, no, that's a great thing. One of the exercises we always do is say something to the you 15 years from now.
Mm.
And it always makes them go, oh, yeah.
I still tell that to myself.
Well, we can do that all the time.
Yeah. Say something to yourself in 15 years. Like, damn, girl, you look better than J-Lo. Because then by then, J-Lo will be 70.
I don't know. I'm going to say, I don't know.
Oh, no. But,
but it's J-Lo. I don't know.
Who knows? But then again, maybe no. Anyway, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks,
you're amazing. You're incredible.
No,
come back.
Time. You guys are amazing. You're incredible.
Oh, no, you're amazing.
No, you are.